Afterwards, with John Kiriakou and Frederick Hitz, continues.
John, you have a very interesting account of the takedown of the Taliban embassy in Peshawar, in Pakistan. Talk a little bit about that, because that will be, you know, it was news to me. There would be such a thing that you could call it an embassy.
It's funny because embassies are almost always in capital cities.
Right.
This embassy happened to be in Peshawar, which is a town or a city in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan. We had operational reason to go there every once in a while to see what was going on. It's kind of a Wild West type of border city and very dangerous. I happened to be with a colleague from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey by the name of Detective Tommy McHale. And Tommy was on loan at the time to the FBI. Tommy is...
You admired him.
I admired him greatly. He is a true American hero, an unsung hero. And he was a victim in the first World Trade Center attack. It damaged his lungs, and he never fully recovered from that attack. And then his best friend was killed in the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center. So Tommy had his best friend's handcuffs. And whenever we would do a raid or capture an Al-Qaeda fighter, he would cuff him with his best friend's cuffs and say that this was for his friend. So it was very emotional, and it really made an impact on me. I thought it was very important. So we were in Peshawar together, and we happened to drive by the Taliban embassy, which was still functioning. And I mean, this is in March or April of 2002, so it's well after the Taliban government had fallen in Afghanistan.
Yes.
It didn't make any sense to us. And as we're driving by, he pointed it out to me, and he said, you know what we should do? We should break in there one night and just steal everything they have. And I laughed, and I said, yeah, that would be funny. And then we looked at each other, and I said, you know what? That's exactly what we should do. So we went back to Islamabad, and Tommy pitched it to his FBI bosses, and they gave the go-ahead. He requisitioned two vans from the embassy motor pool and assembled a team of people. We drove up to Peshawar, waited until about 2 o'clock in the morning, broke the cheap lock off the front door, and went in and just started taking absolutely everything in the building. Computers, files, cell phones, weapons, money, anything. Anything that wasn't bolted down to the floor, we jammed it into these two vans and drove back to Islamabad. Well, because September 11th was an open criminal investigation, of course the FBI had the lead here. So Tommy cabled the FBI saying, we did it, no problems, everybody's accounted for. Got everything, we're going to start going through it. They said, congratulations, please advise if you find anything interesting. Well, 4 or 5 days later, he came up to my office and he said, you're never going to believe what I found. It was a file folder with telephone bills in it. And the telephone bills were written in English. They were Pakistani-issued telephone bills. And they documented 168 calls made from the Taliban embassy to numbers inside the United States. And I mean all over the United States. Bethesda, Maryland, Los Angeles, Buffalo, Kansas City, all over the country. And those calls stopped abruptly on September the 10th. 2001, and then started up again slowly on September the 16th. So
you had a live one. Yeah,
a live one. This is the best lead that we had during the time that I was in Pakistan. Well, he was very, very excited about this. This was a very serious catch. And so he cabled the FBI and said, be advised, this is what we've found. We're pouching the originals back. They said, good catch. Please make sure the originals come to such and such an office. And we were so busy, I kind of put it out of my mind. So went back to the agency several months later, stayed in touch with Tommy, and I asked him, whatever happened to those phone numbers at one point? He said, nothing that I know of. I know that we sent them back to FBI headquarters. I know that they received them, but I haven't heard any follow-up. Well, then a couple of years later, I left the agency. And I spoke to him again in 2005, and I asked him, whatever happened to those numbers? Were the traces ever done? And he said, you know, the FBI never traced those numbers. They said initially that they didn't have the Pashto translators necessary to dedicate to the job. And I said, but the bills were in English. They didn't need to be translated from Pashto. That was the reason why we knew what they were. And he said, well, all I know is what the FBI is telling me.
They were to parties in the United States.
They were to parties in the United States. Now, in a worst-case scenario, this is terrorists living among us.
Quite.
Or terrorist sympathizers.
It was clear that, and the Bureau, remember, warned us about that.
Indeed.
After 9/11.
They did.
They could have sleeper cells.
Sleeper cells. Attorney General Ashcroft at the time was very clear about the possibility of sleeper cells in the United States. And Al-Qaeda's leadership had alluded to the fact that there were sleeper cells in the United States. Well, 2007 finally comes, and I asked him once again, whatever happened to those numbers and the FBI traces? He said that to the best of his knowledge, nothing was ever done with them. Right. And then finally, I ran into a former FBI colleague with whom I had served in Islamabad, and I asked him, and he said that the phone bills were put into a box and sent into an FBI storage facility in suburban Maryland. The box had never been opened, and nobody had ever traced those calls.